Kashmiri people being killed amid global silence. The current turmoil in Indian-controlled Kashmir that is taking a heavy toll on the lives of local Muslim population as a result of the trigger-happy attitude of Indian forces, coupled with the intransigence of the government in New Delhi, which refuses to hold a UN-directed plebiscite to determine the status of the Kashmir region, whose fate the British colonialists deliberately left in limbo in 1947 against the aspirations of the local people. The British, whilst partitioning the Indian subcontinent, are again stoking tensions with Pakistan, arousing fears of three wars the two neighbours have fought over this predominantly Muslim-populated region. Stay with us now for an analysis of the chronic question of Kashmir. Kashmir is a region located in northwest of the Indian subcontinent. It is comprised of Indian-administered Jammu and Kashmir, Pakistani-administered Azad Kashmir, the Gilgit-Baltistan state under Islamabad's control, as well as the Chinese-administered Aksai Chin. The region is mostly mountainous, and the Karakoram mountain range contains this K2 summit, the second highest mountain on Earth, and several other very high mountain peaks. Kashmir is also considered as one of the key areas of influence of the Persian language, as Iqbal Lahuri, the prominent poet and philosopher of the Indian subcontinent, called it Iran-e-Saghir, or Smaller Iran. The region was later recognized by this name, and the people in the region now often use this name for Kashmir, where Islam entered a millennium ago, and which in the 14th century became predominantly Muslim, thanks to the enlightening efforts of the Iranian Gnostic Mir Sayyid Ali Hamedani. The region from north and east meets China. From south it meets India. From west it shares borders with Pakistan, and from northwest shares borders with Afghanistan. The Indian state of Jammu and Kashmir is a 101,000 square kilometer area, and it has a population of over 12 million, according to a 2011 official census. Srinagar is the summer capital of Indian state of Jammu and Kashmir. Its winter capital is Jammu. A large part of the region, including Kashmir Valley and Jammu and Ladakh, are controlled by India. China, on the other side, holds the mostly unpopulated regions, which cover a 42,600 square kilometer area. The Pakistan-administered Kashmir contains Azad Kashmir, with Muzaffarabad as its capital, in an area of 5,619 square kilometers, and Gilgit-Baltistan state with an area of 72,496 square kilometers. Kashmir, which for centuries had been ruled by successive Muslim dynasties before independence of the Indian subcontinent in 1947, was ruled by a British-installed Hindu Raja. On partition of the Indian subcontinent, both Pakistan and India argued that it was their right to rule over Kashmir. Three wars were fought in 1948, in 1965, and in 1971. According to the figures of 1947, of the then 5.5 million population of Kashmir Valley, 95% were Muslims and only 4% were Hindus. Of the 4 million population of Jammu, 30% were Muslims, 66% were Hindus, and 4% are from other religions. In Ladakh, of the 280,000 people, 46% were Muslims, 50% were Buddhists, and 3% were from other faiths. Furthermore, in Azad Kashmir, there were 300,000 people in 1947, and all of them were Muslims. In northern areas of Pakistan-controlled Kashmir, 1 million people were living, and 99% of them were Muslims. The eruption of the recent Kashmir clashes in Kashmir are the result of mistrust of the local Muslim population against the government in New Delhi, which they complain has adopted a stepmotherly attitude towards them and refuses to respect their aspirations for deciding their own fate, the fate of their homeland, according to the United Nations directive for referendum or plebiscite. Most of the Kashmiris want to be independent of India, while some prefer merger with Pakistan. Since Friday, July 15th, up to now, the clashes in Indian-administered Kashmir have continued. Nearly 3,000 people have been reported injured, and over 50 deaths have been reported. The Indian media have reported the ongoing clashes in Kashmir despite the heavy security crackdown imposed by government forces. The clashes witnessed a rise after Burhan Wani, whom the government said was a militant, was killed by Indian forces. The NDTV reported that since Friday, 15th of July, and after resumption of clashes and violent demonstrations in Kashmir, at least 50 people were killed and over 2,000 people were injured. The media report suggests that during one of the rallies, the protesters smashed a police station in Kupwara district in northern Kashmir. In response, Indian security forces opened fire on the protesters, killing a number of them. In other parts of Kashmir, the demonstrations went violent after police clashed with the demonstrators and used batons to put down the protesters. The journalist and editors-in-chief of media in Srinagar also protested the city officials' decision to block release of any news from the city. Indian security forces have attacked the journalists and detained some of them, according to reports. During the past 2 weeks and after killing a separatist group's leader in fighting with Indian forces, heavy clashes have erupted in Kashmir, so far claiming the lives of scores of protesters and pushing the Indian authorities to declare curfew in the region. Top separatist leaders, including Syed Ali Gilani, Mir Waez Farooqi, Sardar Muhammad Yasin Malik, and Shabir Ahmad Shah and others were put under house arrest or detained as they took part in the anti-government demonstrations. In India's Jammu and Kashmir state, the Indian-administered Kashmir, as some media put it, people several times took to the streets demanding self-administration and independence from India. The recent wave of demonstrations sparked after killing of a couple of young leaders of militant groups by the Indian security forces. As people took to the streets for protesting, the Indian security forces have imposed curfew to put down the demonstrations, so far killing over 50 people and injuring at least 3,000 others. The curfew has been lifted and reimposed and is said to be standing as yet after conditions fail to return to normal in the region. Meanwhile, Syed Ali Gilani, the most prominent separatist leader in Jammu and Kashmir, for the first time sent letters to the Islamic Republic of Iran and to China, calling for their support and mediation for settling the increasingly critical conditions in Kashmir. Syed Ali Gilani also wrote to the members of the UN Security Council and the regional organizations like the European Union, Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN, Islamic Cooperation Organization, and the South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation, calling on them to convince India to make assurances, accept the nature of Jammu and Kashmir crisis, revoke the Indian Armed Forces Special Powers Law, and start a process to withdraw military forces from the crisis-hit region. Syed Ali Gilani believes that the addressed countries and the organizations are responsible for trying to stop the Indian horror created by New Delhi in Jammu and Kashmir, and should prioritize demanding for release of political prisoners and asking for paving the way for free political activity in India. The BJP government in New Delhi, however, has so far refused. The fact is that border clashes as well as religious and political rifts, especially over Kashmir, have been existing between India and Pakistan since the partition of the Indian subcontinent in 1947. The existence of radical and terrorist groups in Pakistan's territories and their negative effects on South Asia's security situation caused New Delhi to point finger of blame at Islamabad after any terrorist attack in India. To put strains on Pakistan, India always accused Islamabad of backing the Taliban and other violent groups in India and Jammu and Ladakh states. As a result, over the past 70 years, tensions between the two sides have failed to stop. On the other side, in northern side of Kashmir, India has border struggles with China. Perhaps one of the reasons foiling any solution to the chronic issue of Kashmir is India turning a blind eye to the rights of the Kashmiri people. In fact, each of the players involved in Kashmir looks at the issues from its own perspective, an issue keeping the international players from getting involved in the struggle of the settlement of the Kashmir crisis. India considers Kashmir conflict a domestic issue, whilst Pakistan uses it to pressure India. This issue has deprived the world from hearing the right news and information from Kashmir. On the other hand, due to regional crises, the international media give very little coverage to events in Kashmir. For example, the recent Kashmir clashes started before the coup attempt in Turkey, but news, even in Iranian media, failed to cover it adequately. Meanwhile, the West, led by the United States of America, in view of the rifts between India and Pakistan, as well as between India and China, has declined to show any care or concern for the plight of the Kashmiri people, in this way seeking continuation of the crisis in South Asia. While some argue that due to sensitiveness of the issue and Iran's good relations with both India and Pakistan, Tehran has not paid enough attention to the crisis in Kashmir. Others claim that Kashmir is the strategic depth of the Islamic Revolution and its connection to Central Asia. Still others are of the opinion that because of the infiltration of Takfiri terrorists with ties to the Wahhabi regime of Saudi Arabia, the Islamic Republic of Iran is cautious as a player involved in Kashmir. Nonetheless, Kashmir's geopolitical position, straddling the borders of India, Pakistan and China, as well as its proximity to the two Persian-speaking countries of Afghanistan and Tajikistan, means the deep impact of Iranian culture and the Islamic Revolution amongst the Kashmiri Muslims have made the region of strategic significance for Tehran. The people are still like to call the region Iran-e-Saghir or Smaller Iran, as eulogized by the poet-philosopher Allama Dr. Iqbal Lahouri. Last year, Hakim Sajjad Hossein Rouhani, a prominent Kashmiri political activist in a conference in northeastern Iran in the city of Mashhad, said that Iran and Kashmir share cultural commonalities, so much so that the people of Kashmir call Kashmir Iran-e-Saghir or Smaller Iran. Furthermore, referring to the influence of the Islamic Revolution on Muslim states, he said that during the 8-year imposed war on Iran in the 1980s, by Saddam's repressive Ba'athist minority regime, the Kashmiri people, especially the Shiite Muslims, like their counterparts throughout India and Pakistan, showed solidarity with the Islamic Republic of Iran. In view of these facts, the Kashmiri activists hoped that for a firm stance by Tehran on the killing of Kashmiri Muslims. Hakim Sajjad Hossein Rouhani said that taking advantage of the silence of the global community and international organizations, the Indian government has violently quelled the Muslims in Kashmir, which he added is part of the Muslim world, despite its geographical location in the Indian subcontinent. For the solution of the Kashmir problem, nothing has been done apart from simply maintaining the status quo and providing facilities to the people of both sides of the Indian-Pakistan border for travel and trade. Strict monitoring of such basic facilities of travel and trade reduced it to be a worthless claim. The irony is that whenever the situation in Kashmir moves towards peace, Indian and Pakistani leadership falls into slumber, believing that everything has become normal, only to be woken up by the crisis like the one in 2008 or the one in 2010. And even then, after displaying temporary panic and confusion, they go back to sleep again, and this is the cause of the present crisis. It could have been much, much more pleasant and welcome if selected members of civil society approached the leaders of both countries and the media and told them, for God's sake, stop cooking your meals under fire burning in Kashmir, so that some fruitful political activity may be started. Despite the dangerous and unpredictable situation, the Kashmiris have not yet lost their patience and have not said goodbye to their self-restraint. Several attempts have been made to pave the way to create a sectarian hatred by having the Amarnath Hindu pilgrims attacked. Last week, when Gujarati pilgrims found themselves forced to take refuge at Nagin Club, the local Muslims looked after them with great respect and dignity. When more than 60 elderly, young people and women reached Delhi, they had lavish praise for the Kashmiris. Similarly, the manner in which local Muslims braved the curfew restrictions only to rescue the Hindu pilgrims and non-pilgrims who had met an accident in South Kashmir in Bij Behara, they are lessons to be learned here by the partisan media and political opportunists who are leaving no stone unturned and crossing all the limits in character assassination of the Kashmiris. All said and done, the situation in Kashmir is going from bad to worse because of the high-handed approach of the ruling party in New Delhi. If the situation is not improved and talks do not begin earnest between India and Pakistan, with the cause, the representatives of the Kashmiri people present, Kashmir could easily become a humanitarian crisis of gigantic proportions. India's former Interior Minister P. Chidambaram has boldly spoken the unspeakable about Kashmir. Chidambaram is the first ranking member of any political party to say openly that India has reneged on the bargain the Kashmiris were promised. Immediately, the government and the sections of the media advocating the repression of the Kashmiri people at any cost called him an anti-national. It is unfortunate that the entire issue of popular consultation was forgotten. Article 370 remained in the Indian constitution, but the state lost its autonomy as defined therein. The mantra became Kashmir is an integral part of India. The Congress party failed in the 50 years after independence to win over the minds and the hearts of the Kashmiri people. And now the present government is making the situation even worse, as is evident by the Indian Army's brutal killing of the 22-year-old Burhan Wani, who posed no danger whatsoever to New Delhi. According to analysts, a dozen boys with a few guns, there were no threat to the Indian Army, one of the largest in the world. There is no record of Burhan Wani and his crew waging any attack on Indian forces. The rebellion was very symbolic, a war of images against India's continuing occupation of Kashmir, where about 500,000 Indian soldiers, paramilitary and armed police are still stationed. But whatever the strength of the Indian Army, already one line of graffiti has appeared on every other wall throughout the entire Kashmir Valley. Go India, go back.